As the World Cup in Brazil nears, Chile is preparing for a very different international soccer competition, the Homeless World Cup, which will take place in Santiago in October. Homeless and at-risk youth and adults from 66 different countries send teams to compete in this annual competition. In Chile, thousands participate in homeless soccer practices twice a week and hope to represent their country and improve their own lives. From Santiago, Eilish O'Neill has the story.
It's 9 o'clock at night, and the sun went down long ago. But that's not stopping this group of about 20 young men from playing soccer under the bright lights of a turf field in Puente Alto, a poor suburb to the south of Santiago. Homeless Soccer aims to offer the benefits of sports to Chile's homeless. It's been so successful that over the past 8 years, it's grown from one team that practiced in one Santiago park to almost 100 teams all over the country. Domingo Correa is a longtime participant in homeless soccer. He first joined back in 2011. His nickname is Jack Sparrow, and with his long dreadlocks and beard, his piercings and rings, and his high, sharp cheekbones, he lives up to the name. But Correa doesn't have a pirate ship, much less any treasure. For 15 years, he lived on the streets of Santiago.
No hay salida, ¿cachai?
There's no way out, you know. You think everything has been lost. You have no hope of finding stable work. Also, I had been involved in crime, so I had stained papers, as we say here. I had a criminal history. The distance between society and living on the street is enormous.
One day, while Correa was watching a homeless soccer practice in a Santiago park, the team psychologist invited him to join in. He decided to take a stab at it, and he liked what he found. For the first time, there was a group of people that was always there for him, every Monday and Wednesday evening on the soccer field.
A homeless person doesn't matter to anyone. No one sees him. No one's interested in him. If you're sick, if you're in jail, if you're hungry, if you're cold, you go unnoticed, you know?
Homeless soccer practices are free. They're led by professional soccer coaches and attended by psychologists and social workers, since part of the idea is to connect homeless people to a wide range of services. They also have rules. Correa says he couldn't go to practice drunk or high. After 15 years of alcoholism and drug addiction, staying sober proved difficult at first. The second time Correa showed up high, his coach told him he'd be suspended from homeless soccer for a month if he came to practice under the influence again. That's when Correa got serious about staying clean.
The other guys told me, oh yeah, you're clean, you know? And so they stopped offering me alcohol or drugs because they saw that I was focused on turning my life around completely.
Correa did indeed manage to sober up, says Juan Erazo, the director of homeless soccer in Chile.
He wasn't hospitalized for doing drugs. He was never given any pills. He says that the only treatment he received was our warm welcome and our sport, soccer.
Because of Correa's good conduct and his hard work on the field, he was offered a place on the Chilean national homeless soccer team, which would travel to Paris and place fifth in the 2011 Homeless World Cup.
Our objective is to be a point of reference for at-risk people, that it's possible to move forward both on a big scale, like going back to school, finishing primary school, or finding a job, or getting off the street, renting a room or a house, recovering familial ties, but also on a smaller scale, like making new friends.
Juan Erazo is the director of Homeless Soccer in Chile, which runs soccer programs for young people from poor families and for ex-convicts, as well as for homeless people. One of the Puente Alto players who hopes to be chosen to represent Chile in this year's Homeless World Cup is 20-year-old Fabian Narvay. Narvay always loved to play soccer with his friends in the street, and he dreamed of being a professional soccer player. But he never had the opportunity to play for a team until 2 years ago, when he came to his first homeless soccer practice.
That day I was with my friend, and I felt comfortable and everything. I played really well that day. I made goals. I felt good at that practice. That's why I continued, because I felt comfortable with the other players and with the coach. It was a good environment.
Back at the homeless soccer headquarters, Correa says he moved back in with his mom after returning from the 2011 World Cup in Paris.
She was the one who most suffered because she had to open the door for the police who came to the house to look for me, or she had to go to court to rescue me. For a long time, she didn't see me. She didn't know where I was. She didn't know if I was going to return dead or alive. So I think that now she is the happiest mother in the world.
Domingo Correa now has a house and a job as a groundsman at the homeless soccer headquarters. Whenever he can, he goes to homeless soccer practices to tell the players that they too can turn their lives around. All it takes is a little soccer. The next Homeless World Cup will be held in Santiago starting October 19th. For Only a Game, I'm Elise O'Neill.
If you're on Twitter and want an easy way to keep up to date on World Cup news, visit our page at Only a Game NPR and subscribe to our soccer list. It's called Soccer News and Views, and tweet your favorite soccer Twitter accounts to us. We're happy to add more. That's at Only a Game NPR.
Support comes from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, working to build a culture of health for all Americans, on the web at rwjf.org. The Pew Charitable Trusts, driven by the power of knowledge to solve today's most challenging problems, at pewtrusts.org. And the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, helping people build measurably better lives, on the web at hewlett.org. This is NPR.